Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody knows, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
So my name is Shannon Lloyd. I'm the program and development manager at the Multicultural Association of Wood Buffalo, and I guess what I'm about, well, that's my job, but what I'm about is, I guess, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm an independent person of my own, I'm, you know, kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants kind of person, but also like to have goals in mind and those sorts of things.
Nice, yeah. I love it. Now, you work for a great organization. I might sit on the board for it.
Maybe.
you guys do really, really cool things.
Yeah, we do a lot of things, actually. A lot of events, a lot of programming, all those sorts of things. One of those programs that we have upcoming, actually we have an event, a big event coming up.
Okay.
One of our main events is the Expo on February 3rd.
Okay. And so what's the Expo about?
The Multicultural Expo is to come and celebrate all cultures within the region, mm-hmm. That are here and the diversity that we have, and celebrate the excellence that brings to our community.
Yeah.
You can get food, you can learn from organizations, you can see clothing culture, purchase things from other booths. It's just an amazing event, and I've had the privilege of being at the first in-person one since COVID last year.
Mm-hmm.
It so much goes into it from our events planner, Rasha. She's amazing and she does a great job, but it's just like so much work, so great. Everybody wants it to be for multiple days, but I just couldn't imagine what it would take to get to do that because there's so much individual stuff, but it's just the celebration.
Yeah.
Community and the vibe in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. So you can see cultural performances. You can see all sorts of things as well.
You are completely right about the vibe, though.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so many, like, different cultures, so many people. And the vendors pretty much damn near sell out of everything they bring. Like, it's a very well-attended event.
It is. It's completely astronomical. And something we started, thanks to RBC, was doing a welcome fair in conjunction with the expo.
Oh.
So newcomers to the region can come and explore the cultures in the region, but also be able to see all the newcomer agencies at the event as well. So they can, you know, do stuff with their family. There's lots of kids events as well. Bring their family, not have to worry about that, get information that they might need and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
With the welcome fair, and much gratitude to RBC for sponsoring that as well.
Very cool.
Great.
Now, how did you get involved in a multicultural association?
So I was actually looking for a specific job that balanced. So I'd worked for the municipal government in another community, and I had worked in industry. And I liked little things about both.
Mm.
And so I was looking for a job that was unique to those things that I liked about both industries.
Okay.
And this one fit everything. So I could still build partnerships and I could still work with industry. But I was, at the end of the day, we were helping people.
Yeah.
And we could see positive outcomes. And we do have, obviously, policies and procedures that we follow.
Tell me about it.
But the outcome is about the people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we have some flexibility in that. And it just was so amazing to find when Therese Greenwood was the executive director. And Anna Rigg was in my position at the time.
Mm.
They interviewed me, and it was great to find that position and just feel that camaraderie between them, and then coming in and meeting everyone and coming in just sort of at the tail end of COVID.
So
it was a unique dynamic, but how everyone worked together. And I just, I just knew I found my home.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. You guys have an amazing team. Like, it's one of those things over the years, like, I get asked to sit on a number of boards. And so I've got board experience, but I took a hiatus for a while just because, you know, it's tough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was approached by you guys and learned about, like, what you do and how invested in the community you are. And I couldn't say no. Yeah. So, like, I'm happy to be on the board, but like, you guys, what you're doing and the impact you have in the community and, like, the structure that you put in place to get things done, like, it is wild.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. When people say, well, what do you do? And I'm like, well, what don't we do?
That's right.
Really? So, like, just, and I tend to forget, like, all the things just under my hat. Mm-hmm. But, like, we have the English Learners Language Assistance Program for students in, I think we're in 6 schools. And obviously, we'd love to be in all the schools, but funding is an issue for that as well. So we're always looking for more funding for Ella, because the uniqueness of this region is that there's so many newcomers.
That's right.
And it's so accepting of people, and people feel that they can make this their home. And when we're teaching those students, they're in turn then taking that back home to maybe siblings or cousins that are with them that are not quite in the school system yet, or parents or grandparents. Mm-hmm. And they're in turn teaching those language skills at home, or being able to support them through, like, appointments and that sort of stuff.
So yeah.
We're not just helping one student. We're helping an entire family.
Yeah.
And so that's a really great thing that we do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tons of different programs. Yeah. One of them is a financial literacy program.
Yes, we have financial literacy level 1 and 2. You can take them both at the same time, or you can take them independent of each other. And it doesn't matter if you take level 2 first or level 1 first. Mm-hmm. Originally, when the program was in its inception, it was geared towards newcomers.
Right.
And then newcomers took the program, financial literacy level 1,
mm-hmm.
and then they decided they wanted more, and then came level 2. But people in the community were learning that, wow, in level 1, there are things that, you know, I've forgotten about or don't really bring to mind every day, and it's a great refresher, and we've had past students come and take the course again
just
for a refresher of the things they learned and were successful in financial independence. And the instructor of financial literacy, many people don't know that he volunteers his time to do the instruction.
Who is the instructor?
The instructor is Jay Falcone, number 1 international best-selling author.
Yep.
I was wondering why this program sounded so familiar.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And again, this program is brought to us by the generosity of RBC.
Yep.
And that says a lot, saying that a financial institution has said, well, you know what, your program is more involved than what we're currently offering. So we would like to continue to fund this program because we think it's hitting those key elements in in their mandate. So we are really lucky to be able to do that. And so that enables us. Jay lived in the region for many, many years and has recently retired and has moved on to be closer to his family. So that enables us to ensure that he can travel back and forth and still volunteer his time for teaching.
Yeah.
So you know that the teaching comes from a passion.
That's right. That man is amazing. Like, he really cares.
Have you tried his food?
Yes. His panna cotta.
Oh. Is anything that he's cooked. It's all fantastic.
Yeah.
So I just did some interviewing with him as well. And he sent me home with some panna cotta, which I promptly forgot in the fridge at my friend's house.
Oh, well, your friend had a win.
Don't tell Rasha.
Yeah.
Yes, but so at the end of the financial literacy program, not only do you get to walk home with his international best-selling book, which is like a $30 value, you get a certificate from us, a certificate of completion that you can put in your portfolio. I don't know if that ages me, that I'm a portfolio person, but like those things. You do learn a lot.
Yeah.
And it's things that you can take with you, not only in your day-to-day life, but in your business life as well, because it gives you some acumen, right?
That's right. No, it's a fantastic program. And like at the end of the day, especially like when you think about where it started for people like immigrants and foreigners who were coming, who don't know the financial system. Like I know my parents, when they first came to Canada, like, it was a struggle for them to figure that out. Now, luckily, like, I'm first generation.
Yeah.
So the mistakes that they made, they were able to say, hey, listen, we stumbled here, this is how you learn. And so, like, I didn't make those same mistakes.
For sure.
I've made a lot of other ones, but, like, you learn and you pass that on, right? But this is a great course. I've taken it.
Yeah.
And, like, some of the stuff is pretty basic. But then every, like, some of the content, like, oh, I never looked at it from that point of view. Or, like, you learn something from it.
Or, like, a lot of people don't think that you should set your own financial goals and that you should reassess those goals. And that's something that you'll learn in his course as well.
That's right.
And not only that, like, Jay creates connections with community. Yeah. And so he gives access to himself. So his personal phone number, his email, those sorts of things, depending, right?
Yeah.
And you just learn so much from him. And you learn from his mistakes as well, right?
That's right. And his book is fantastic. We have
amazing.
It out there. Like, it's a good book and a great course. So when's that happening?
So level one starts February 13th. It runs from 7 to 9 p.m. For 8 weeks, and level two starts on February 14th. And I know what you're all going to say, that's Valentine's Day, but what says love better than financial freedom?
Well, and, like, what's the number one cause of divorce? It's money. So, like, couples counseling right there.
There you go. You took it out of my head.
So level two is 10 weeks. That'll be every Wednesday for 10 weeks from 7 to 9 p.m. as well.
Cool. Yeah. No, that's a good course. And if Jay's coming back, we got to try to line him up to get back on the show.
Yes, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, he can cook us something. We got to find a kitchen.
Yeah.
We got to find a kitchen. Okay, Tanner tapped his phone. That means he's ready with his segment, the Max City Minute. But before we jump into that, we're going to send it to a sponsor, Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Take it away.
Hi, I'm Carrie Beaton. I make all-natural skincare and a variety of herbal remedies. I'm also an artist that works with acrylic on a variety of substrates. To check out all my products and works I have available, you can click on the links below. Thank you so much.
And we are back. Tanner, here with the Max City Minute.
Alrighty, question number one for you today. What is your favorite dish that you've had that is from a different country or culture?
Me?
Yep.
That's for me. Oh, my favorite dish that I've had that's from a different country or culture. Oh, I've had so many. So many. Can I say, like, what's my favorite that I don't get to have all the time and what's my favorite go-to?
Yep.
Okay. So my favorite that I don't get to have all the time is called Festival, and it's a Jamaican dish. And I liken it to sort of like a corn fritter, but, like, a little more bread texture-y. And they use it and they dip it in, like, or they have it with saltfish and ackee or dip it in gravies and that sort of stuff. I like jam on it. But my go-to is Shahi Paneer.
What's that?
It's like, it's an Indian dish. It's paneer cheese in a like mild gravy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Question number two for you today. What is one landmark throughout the world that you would want to see?
One landmark throughout the world that I would want to see? I think I want to see the pyramids.
Great answer.
And I think that's because Rasha, my colleague, is from Egypt, and I hear so much about it. And also, you know, Muna as well has lived in Egypt too.
Mm-hmm.
I get to hear a lot about it in my year.
Yeah.
Question number three. What is one song that you listen to that puts a smile on your face?
Good question. Like, a lot. I listen to a lot of music. I like all genres of music, and music tends to make me happy. So, yeah.
Question number four. If you could spend the day as any animal, what animal would you choose and why?
Any animal. A cat. I would choose to be a cat. Because what do you do but eat and sleep and lay around and get all the affection in the world?
Great answer. And your final question. What is your favorite way to eat an egg?
That depends. Do I have toast or not?
It's up to you.
Okay, if with toast, I want it over medium, perfectly, no brown on the bottom of an egg. An egg should never be brown on the bottom. And if I don't have that and I'm not really sure how it's going to come out, scrambled, because it's really hard to mess that up.
And those are menu five questions.
You rocked those.
Yeah.
Great responses, great questions.
Thank you.
So when it comes to music, how do you digest music? Are you in the car? Are you in your headphones? Like, when are you listening to it?
All different times.
Okay.
Sometimes I listen to music in the shower. Not as often. I like to listen to music when I'm getting ready. I like to listen to music when I'm, like, immersed in something at work, in the car always, unless I'm tired. Then I throw on a podcast or an audiobook.
Okay.
Talking is interesting. Like, keeps me more awake than music, because music is relaxing and calming. And,
Yeah. I'm the opposite.
Really?
Like, if I'm listening to somebody just like talk, like an audiobook, I love audiobooks and I love podcasts. But like, if I'm like tired, that'll put me out. Music will keep me.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's completely separate for me.
Depends the voice and the song.
Yes, true, true.
Like, you put on some, like, hard style, like, red boom, 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 boom music, that's not putting me to bed.
That's right.
Or, like, if you put on a squirrely, annoying voice, you know, I ain't going to sleep.
That's
like,
right, that's right.
Like, that guy from Dateline, his voice, that'll put me to bed.
Yeah. No, man, I fell asleep to Joey Diaz's voice. Like, I listen to audiobooks.
Yeah.
Joey Diaz, he's a comedian from New York. Don't know if you ever heard about him. No. He's filthy and hilarious. But he has a book and he just has that very New York type of accent. And him just talking is an example of, like, I don't think many people could fall asleep through his voice. Knocked me right out.
So I'm like a music flipper when I'm driving to, like, every XM station, like, trying to find a song that'll, like, give me the jam. And then that, if that doesn't work, then it's an audiobook or a podcast for sure.
So you're radio.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Satellite radio is different, though. Like, the amount of options you get on there.
Are you satellite or real radio?
Satellite.
Okay. Well,
unless I'm driving my husband's truck, because, you know.
Yeah.
It stays parked the majority of the time, so that's just radio. And that's kind of neat to hear, because
every once in a while,
things. Yeah. Or if you're just, like, totally bored of satellite radio, because sometimes it's, like, over and over the same thing. So then I'm just, like, if I'm in a community that I know, like, a station that I'm familiar with, I'll flip to that.
What are your, like, presets for your satellite?
For my satellite, my presets are, so I have Lithium.
Okay.
Yeah. I have Prime Country.
Okay.
I have The Heat.
Okay.
And I have The Pulse.
Yeah.
And I have, I'm trying to think of what the...
Have a good memory is what you have.
Yeah. I have... The top hits one.
Oh, like the top 40s?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what that was called.
And the new country station as well. The Highway. Yeah. And I also have one more, like, an easy listening station.
Okay.
A little bit all over the map.
All over the place, for sure.
Oh, and I have a hip-hop station as well.
Okay.
So besides The Heat, I have another one.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool.
A little all over the place.
Yeah. So when you are in the office... and you're listening to music, for example. It's a diverse office.
Yeah.
Who's getting the airtime? Because I can assure you not everybody in that office wants to listen to, like, what's on, like, the local radio. Like, they're from a different culture, you know?
For sure. I have headphones.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. I have headphones. So sometimes people think I'm not listening to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes I only have one in so I can hear.
That's right.
And then sometimes it's like, no, shut out the world. I have them both on.
Okay.
Yeah. But if not a lot of people are in the office, then I'll put on my Bluetooth speaker.
Nice.
And just, like, something easy listening.
That's right.
Soft on the ears for anybody.
Yeah.
But, like, that's probably usually, like, I'll go to a 70s or an 80s station.
There you go. The one thing about you guys that always blows my mind is, like, the patience you have in regards to, because it's the Multicultural Association, like, you guys have to deal with all different type of languages.
Yes, we do.
And so I've always wanted to ask you this question.
Sure.
How do you deal with that? Because how many languages do you speak? Like, one or two?
I literally only speak one language.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And so with all these different dialects coming in, and, like, some people are coming in, very low English. Like, how do you prepare and how do you communicate with that? And how do you do it so well?
So for me, I don't really struggle with accents too much, unless it's over the phone. And then I have a little bit of an issue. But I think body language is key.
Yeah.
I tend to read lips and tell them, like, it's okay to take your time and be slow. And you have to listen. You can't interrupt them. So you have to, like, wait. And then if I'm really, really struggling, I'll pull out, like, Duolingo or, like, Google Translate. Mm. Sorry, not Duolingo. Google Translate, just to, like, let me get some help, you know? Yeah.
What amazing world we live in where you can actually, like, go to your phone and, like,
yeah.
Translate.
I mean, it's not always perfect. It's definitely never perfect with Google Translate. And that's why, obviously, we offer translation and interpretation services. And the only place you can get certified translation in Fort McMurray.
Mm.
So we do offer that through our interpretation and translation program as well.
Yeah.
But I tend to get some help. A lot of people in our office do speak other languages.
Right.
So we have... we have some flexibility with that, but also we can get an interpreter if needed. So we would book them an appointment with the Welcome Center coordinator, Aisha, and set up an appointment with an interpreter.
Yeah. It's an amazing organization. I don't know how you guys do it. Like, I just hear about, like, I go to my meetings and you guys invite me and I participate. I love participating in everything you guys do. And every time I show up to an event, I'm just like, what the heck is going on here? Like, it's so cool. But then, like, the programs that you guys do, like, the events are cool and they're nice to see.
Yeah.
And it's great to, like, share that with the community, you know? But it's the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you guys are doing day in and day out for all these, like, newcomers. Like, I was having a discussion with my cousin a few days ago. Like, if you send me to Italy, like, I've been to Italy before, right? Mm-hmm. First world, nice place. I don't speak the language. And, like, when I went over there, like, I had a translating book. That's how old I am. Like, I was like, all right, let's try to figure this out.
Come on, Elliot. We figured out you're younger than me.
That's right. So, but, like, if you just plop me down there, me being who I am, and said, okay, survive. Mm. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, no, you're not on vacation. This is, like, your new reality. I would fail miserably. Like, I don't know the language. Like, there's all these hurdles. Like, I would need to find an organization like you guys to help me at least stand a chance.
Yeah, and that's our goal with the Welcome Center, is to remove barriers, right?
Yeah.
So how can we get you in touch with the organizations that you need to be in touch with? It's already hard enough when you don't understand, you know, the new community, and you don't necessarily understand the language 100%.
Yeah.
And so people are sending you to all different places, but it oftentimes isn't where you need to go. So sitting down with our Welcome Center coordinator and actually finding out what your needs are, mm-hmm. and where you need to go to have those needs met.
Yeah.
And then what agencies can serve you dependent on your, I guess, your status. So, like, mm-hmm. permanent resident or, you know, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so some, because of funding, some agencies that are out here to help individuals are constrained who they can based on their immigration status,
mm-hmm.
because of their funding
mm-hmm.
partners. And so lucky for us, we don't have that constraint, and we can help everyone.
That's awesome.
We do the best that we can in whatever way we can to make sure everyone gets assistance or gets support or gets somewhere where they can get that support, whether that's hooking them up with other people in the community or who are from where they're from,
mm-hmm.
Or other support agencies, or just needing, you know, to navigate. Maybe they just need to navigate. I don't know how many people I don't know if anybody knows. We share an office in Kiana. We're in the arts wing.
Yeah.
And so we share an office with Arts Council. And so I don't know how many, like, right now, let's say all the international students just trying to navigate Kiana.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If I know where you need to go, I'll walk you there.
That's right.
I'm not going to say, oh, you go here, this hallway, turn this way. No way.
Yeah.
By the time I get to the third point of your directions, I've probably forgotten where I'm going.
That's right.
So if we can, we try to, like, help you even in that small way.
Yeah.
You know,
boots on the ground.
And maybe I don't know, but you know who does know? Security. So I'm going to walk you to security.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, listen, Tanner tapped his watch a little while ago. That means we're out of time. But before I cut you loose, you get a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Okay, well, I guess the shameless shout-out or plug is please come on down to our Multicultural Expo February 3rd at Mac Island. And don't forget to sign up for Financial Literacy Level 1 and 2. And you can do that at mcawb.org.
There we go. Awesome. Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose, and to the Coldwell team that's about to give us a nice holiday greeting. Hope everybody at home is having a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
It's so ballistic! talk about quenching your ugly thirst.